The gurus of How To are here. Al and Larry Ubell, also known as Accurate Building Inspectors of Brooklyn, New York. They visit us regularly to help us get through life.
Yes, whether we like it or not.
In a mechanical way.
Yeah. Well, no matter what you do, it's almost guaranteed something is going to break down at some point.
Mm-hmm.
And more often than not, like just happened to me recently when my oven suddenly stopped working, it leads to
you can go to a
long
you can go to a restaurant, you know.
Well, now I want to hear what he goes to.
I have a toaster. Well, you know, a guy came in and he fixed it. It didn't work. You know, after he left, it stopped working. Another guy came in. He fixed it. About an hour later, it stopped working. So it's been a long
trouble. Is that gas,
trouble.
Electric? What is it?
No, it's one of those. It's got a computer board for the oven, and then the top is, you know.
Now, let me ask you a question. Did all this problem start when?
I'm not asking for your help.
No, I'm not. Well, this is.
But if you want to come by and fix it,
you're not the only one. No, but this problem is this a self-cleaning oven?
Yeah, but that's not the problem.
And you didn't self-clean.
Huh?
You didn't self-clean just before the problem started happening?
No. I think that the computer board just is separating itself from where it should be.
Too much heat.
Probably.
Well, the reason I bring it up is because these days with everything being so computerized, a lot of times the self-cleaning features can actually destroy the electronics. So a lot of people
we never clean that oven.
Oh, okay. Then never mind.
All right. Let's leave it at that. Yeah.
We invite our listeners to give us a call when you're here. 212-433-9692. Some people are already calling. 212-433-WNYC. You can write to us on our show page at WNYC.org or on Facebook or Twitter, where our handle is at Let It Lopate. And when you are here, we also have a quiz.
That's right. We come up with something that's unusual. And I think we're
going to challenge our audience.
Yes.
You think this one's going to be difficult?
Actually, it stumped me because I have one of these, whatever it is, in my office, and I didn't know the real name of it until I did the research.
And I'm going to say that everyone knows what this thing is and they've seen it. But I'm going to be very specific about getting the right name, and I think getting the right name is going to be the hard part.
So why don't you read it for us?
Okay. There is a weight measuring device that dates back 2,000 years, which uses the same principles that are used in some contemporary weighing scales. These devices can be found in many hospitals and doctor's offices. The offices that have a manual sliding iron block on the calibration bar that determines the patient's weight. Name that device. In other words, that whole mechanism where the doctor slides the weight back and forth, that type of scale actually has a name.
Okay. Mm-hmm. The number 212-433-9692. That's 212-433-WNYC. And this is one of those rare occasions where I don't assume that somebody who's in construction or in architecture will know the answer.
We'll have the advantage.
Well, I imagined after I was doing this that a doctor or a hospital person, maybe they know what it is, but I doubt it. I think this is not their realm of interest.
Okay, well, if you think you do know, give us a call, 212-433-9692. Meanwhile, lots of people are calling. And the first caller is somebody who has a question, Sarah from Manhattan, that is something you wanted to discuss anyway.
Go, Sarah.
Hi there. I have a leak in between my bathroom and the bathroom above me, and it has been going on for years. It doesn't always break through the ceiling, but occasionally does.
Mm-hmm.
But usually I can just hear it tapping.
Uh-huh.
And
a dripping sound.
In other words,
the dripping.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
and I've spoken to the landlord about it, and what I think they need to do is I think they need to open up the ceiling and take a look around in there.
Mm-hmm.
And see what's going on, and they don't want to do that.
But let me ask you a couple questions first. So the stain, is it – now this is over your tub?
Mm-hmm. Yes,
is it directly over the center of your tub, or is it more to the right, to the left, or toward the wall where the valves are?
It's up over the tub against the wall, and it's a little bit to the left. However, there was another stain that was about 6 feet away in the hallway. And, it didn't come through, but you could see that it was wet.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that there's just water up there, and it's only the only place that it's broken through has been directly above the tub.
Okay.
And that's also where I hear it tapping.
Yeah, it's dripping. The the thing that it – and is the stain usually kind of whitish in color, or does it have a lot of stain or discoloration with it?
No, it's been white, and the times when I've seen the water come down, it's actually been pretty clear water.
Okay, so it could be one of two things. Either the whole valve assembly that's in the wall is leaking, and that does happen. The valves where the on-off valves are. So maybe the landlord just really does have to rebuild the valves that are the on-off valves and the diverter valve, which, you know, or that diverts the water from the tub to the shower. Those sometimes leak. The other problem is a lot of times water leaks around the tub on the floor, pools on the floor right next to the tub against the wall, and then makes its way through because the tile on the floor is not waterproof by any means. And so therefore the water comes back because the shower curtain is not always in the right position. That one's actually easy to fix. They make these corner pieces. You can buy them at any home center that would get glued into the tub above in that corner, and that would divert the water from the wall back into the tub.
So it's, this is really something that would have to be done to her neighbor's tub.
Right. It's not really
But what
her
happens
league.
If her landlord just resists doing anything about it?
Landlords generally procrastinate about this thing, or they have to get the superintendent. The superintendent sometimes is just lazy, or he doesn't know what to do, or there is no refunds or direction on his part. The thing that you can do, if it gets persistent, if you're a renting person or even in a co-op or condo, you may have to call HPD. And no matter whether you're a co-op or condo or rental, HPD will come down. And since they are procrastinating, they will give them a violation, and then eventually they will be triggered to do that. Because if they get a violation, they get too many of them, they won't be eligible for increasing the rent of the entire building. So there's a way of manipulating that, and you may have to be forceful.
But I want to say one other thing, that a lot of times these leaks are very difficult to ascertain. I've been involved, and my father's been involved in many of these situations where you can't find it. So what they do sometimes is they actually put some panning or subway panning, like they have on the subway platforms above you. If you ever look up, there are pans that catch all the water and drain it somewhere else. That sometimes is necessary if they can't actually find the specific leak, because you don't always know that it may not be the person above you. It may be the person above them or the person above them, and it's bypassing those floors and coming out in yours. So some investigation is going to have to go on. But the fact that your landlord doesn't want to do anything, I think it's time for a little call to 311 and ask for HPD.
Will entertain what the problem is, though? Will they have to open up the ceiling?
At some point, yes, they're going to have to. Well, I would do the simple things first, the two things I just recommended, which is, you know, look at the valves and look at the diverter. That would be my first course of action. If that didn't do it, then I would then you would have to open the ceiling and look at the drain pipe.
And how do you call HPD? Is that
311.
Another listener, since we're talking about bathrooms, I get backup in my bathtub when my upstairs neighbor takes a shower. What should what could be wrong, and what can I do about it?
There is a restriction in the lower section of between below the problem bathroom. What happened is the
when you mean a restriction, you mean a blockage.
A blockage, a restriction, or a blockage at that point.
Yeah, don't talk technical.
Use real words. don't use none of them fancy highfalutin words.
Let's get to the answer. So the water, as it's coming down there, it starts to build up.
I think in this case it's from the apartment below.
Below. And or the apartment below, or some piping below that could have filled with hair or any kind of debris. And those pipes may have to be like they call Roto-Rooter or something like that, that actually cleans out all the pipes.
You can't just put in liquid plumber?
It depends. Sometimes a liquid plumber, if the pipes are very, very old, the liquid plumber could create a leak.
And I also got to say one other thing that I'm finding, even in my own house, because I have an older home, is that a lot of the old cast iron pipes have corroded and built up so much calcification inside the pipe that even using any of those products are not going to get rid of that blockage.
Now, we have a plumber calling.
Yes.
Should we find out what he thinks?
Why not?
Michael from Bloomfield.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, okay. Mike.
Good. One of the things you guys aren't touching on is the trip lever assembly. Sometimes
it's English, please, for the rest of the people.
Oh, Okay. The trip leader assembly is the, it's sort of like a lever inside the tub that stops up the drain.
Right.
If you want to take a shower, if you want to take a bath, or you trip it up so you can take a shower so it can drain down.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes if those screws aren't tightened, the water splashes against it, behind it, gets across, you know, underneath and behind the tub and drips into the floor.
And again, with the same theory I was saying, let's take care of the obvious things first, which is one of those because that's a face mount. Sometimes that gasket that goes behind it is deteriorated.
Yeah,
and you're right.
Sometimes you need to put a little bit of silicone behind it.
Mm-hmm.
Either that or if you have a tub that has a manual diverter which pulls up from the spout
mm-hmm.
to actuate the shower, sometimes that's not screwed in completely, so you'll get it dripped inside the wall where
mm-hmm.
the spout is.
Right.
And you don't need to open the ceiling to repair.
It could actually be so 100 different things. It could actually be the necessary of re-grouting all of the tile in the apartment above and the apartment above that one.
But I have to say that I think the real problem with that first call is tub is not the tub. It's not anything. It's her landlord who doesn't want to do anything. And so I think that that's where the motivation has to come from, not from which one of these specific problems it could be.
Now,
the main defect.
You also have sent a list of some things that you wanted to talk about. One of them is slippery floors in the bathroom, no grab bars.
There are literally thousands of accidents every year in the United States as a result of people slipping and falling in bathrooms. And the reason is sometimes they're using the wrong material for the floor. They're using glazed tile. Oh, it looks gorgeous and everything else. But glazed tile, if it gets wet on it, is you might as well be on a floor that's with glass on it, and you're going to slip and fall. In other words, you got to select the right material for the right place. There's a book that I had when I went to school for architecture called Materials and Methods of Architecture. Glazed tile on a floor is the wrong material for the wrong place. And that's one thing. The other thing is that if you have a step-in bathtub, you know, as soon as you step into a bathtub to take a shower, you're out of balance right away. Everybody that has that facility should have grab bars on the walls leading outside the bathtub and inside the bathtub. And that will save many, many accidents.
Even if you're 18 years old?
I don't care how old you are or mm-hmm. how young you are. Of course, older people have their equilibrium is disappearing, it's more important. But even young children slip and fall on bathtubs.
Let's take another call from Corrine. Hi, you're on the air. Corrine
Hi.
From Montclair.
Hello. Yes, thank you for taking my call.
Yeah.
So I have two questions if we have time. My first one is about underground sprinklers.
Mm-hmm.
Well, actually, we only have time for one. Do you want to pick one? Because we're going to
Which
go
is
to
the
a
more
break
important? Site. Go for it.
The sprinklers. It's more expensive.
Good.
Okay. So the question is, we have an existing unit. We just moved in 3 weeks ago. I called some guys off Angie's List to come and get it blown out, cleaned, make sure it worked. Well, long story short, they're saying that the system has been so neglected and it's so damaged that it would actually be easier to install a whole new system and rip out the existing one to the tune of $4,000.
Yeah.
So my question to you is this possible that the old one is so damaged that it's actually easier to just rip it out and start anew? And is it even worth it for us to get an underground sprinkler system when we could just put we're planning on reseeding the grass anyway because it has been so neglected?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Should we just get sprinklers above ground?
Okay. I do like underground sprinklers, and they do have to be maintained. Unfortunately, you don't know, you know, this is how many people have you spoken to that all say the same thing?
Well, we got one. I've put in calls to three others now to get
good. Before you do anything, talk to a couple more because, you know, it's, you know, contractors or people that sell you stuff only make money by actually selling you stuff. And so if they tell you everything's hunky-dory, they don't make money. So I would keep going with the more investigation. If everyone's saying the same thing exactly the same way, then it's probably the case. But if one's saying, no, we could just get it all running, blow out the lines, then someone's just looking to, excuse my phrase, rip you off to give you something you already have. This is not uncommon, and it's hard to find. What I would also do is look at your neighbors who actually have lawn sprinkler systems and ask them who they use. And are they? And first ask if they're happy with them. And then ask them who they use. And then give those people a shot at it. And keep going with – you're doing your research. You're doing your due diligence with Angela List and other, you know, online, reviews. But keep don't take the first guy at his word. And as far as using above ground, I do above ground at my house, and it is a pain because you got to pull the hose out, you got to put it back, and sometimes you use the hose, you know, you get that line through your lawn where the hose was laying. So underground irrigation systems are really nice, but like you said, $4,000, I'm sure you just moved in, you have other things to spend money on.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so Thank much you. For calling us. And we have to take a little break. We will come back more with more of the gurus of how to, Alan, Larry, U. Bell, and your calls at 212-433-9692. You can also write to us on our show page at WNYC.org or on Facebook or Twitter, where our handle is at Leonard Lopate. And nobody has called in with a possible answer to the quiz. This
Let's
is a
read
hard
it
one.
Again. Let's read
I
it.
Will after we come back from a break.
I must have been about three or four. You were the cute little boy next door.
We are back with the gurus of how to, Al and Larry U. Bell, and taking your calls at 212-433-9692, or you can write to us on our show page at WNYC.org or on Facebook or Twitter. Our handle is at Leonard Lopate. And today's quiz, it looks like a really difficult one. Nobody is even taking a stab at it, but let me read it, okay?
You may have better luck with your verbiage. You know.
With my verbiage, yes. There is a weight-measuring device that dates back 2,000 years, which uses the same principles that are used in some contemporary weighing scales. These devices can be found in many hospitals and doctor's offices that have a manual sliding iron block on a calibrated bar that determines the patient's weight. Name that device. Okay, the ball is in your court. Meanwhile, let's take a couple of calls. And Ginny from the Bronx. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Ginny.
Hi. So we had our bathroom renovated a year ago, and we had glass doors, a glass enclosure put on our combination tub and shower.
Mm-hmm.
And on the stationary panel of glass at one end where it meets the tub and there's the silicone kind of binder, there's been mildew or mold that we can't seem to get rid of. Our contractor came back and sliced off that extra piece of silicone and reapplied, or I guess he put bleach down first and then reapplied some silicone, and it's starting to happen all over again. And he said he was going to research what kind of silicone to use next because it's just not going away.
What I would do is, first of all, silicone is not a good material to use in a bathroom area. It's good for exterior work because it does it. And silicone in itself is an attractant to mildew growth. I don't know why, but it seems to be that way. I would rather use an acrylic type of cork. And what you can do is, with a razor blade or something, cut out all the silicone that you can see completely and then get some acrylic cork. One of the major companies is DAP. DAP happens to be a major company. And use whatever color it is. They have white, they have clear, they have everything. And wipe that down with a wet sponge, nice and tight, make it nice and smooth, and that mildew or fungal growth will not come back.
But I also want to say one other thing. When you do buy it, especially like the DAP, it actually says as a moldicide or prevents mold, and it pick out that one. The other thing I want to say is that, and this has to do with bathroom safety also, that a lot of people design these tubs enclosures where you can't reach the valves without getting into the tub. And that is, you know, and that's a problem for a couple of reasons. One, people reach over and they fall into the tub while they're trying to get it. They don't want to get wet, or they get scalded because they turn on the hot one and they get hot water. It actually is part of the ICC code, the International Construction Code, that you actually have to be able to control the valves without getting into the tub. So when you're designing your bathrooms, keep this in mind, that you actually should be able to control the valves without getting in the tub, so you don't have these problems.
I always thought the ICC was Interstate Commerce Commission.
That too. That too.
Jenny, thank you for calling us. Mm-hmm. We have a couple of people who think they know the answer to the quiz. Lisa from Richfield, Connecticut, what do you think it is?
I think it's balance beam scale.
No. A balance beam scale.
No.
No. Close,
no.
But no.
But that sounds like something that we would be concerned about in the Olympics, isn't it?
Right.
And Keith from Comac, Long Island. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Keith.
Hi, how you doing?
Yeah.
I think it's a beam balance.
Well, we had a balance beam. Now we have a beam balance.
Well, that's what my father thought it was called for all these years.
No, it's not.
But thanks.
But thank you for calling.
When I found the name of it, I was quite surprised.
Next.
Okay. Well, we're going to have somebody who has a sense of history, I imagine, get this right. Our next caller is David from Manhattan. Hi, you're on the air.
Hey. So we own this house down Jersey Shore. We lost some roof shingles during Hurricane Sandy, and they couldn't find replacements, so they gave us money for a new roof. Mm-hmm. We finally found some guy to do it, and he's also putting in new soffits because they're ancient. My question is, this should be a 2 or 3 day job. Do I need to be present while they're doing this, especially since neighbor two doors down from us, he did the work there, and they know him so well?
Well, it's always good to be there, because I have to tell you, in my experience, and I just went through a construction project of my own, that if there are a couple ways to do it and you want it one way, they're always going to do it the way you don't want it. It's if there's a 50-50 chance of putting in a shelf in this way or that way, and you want it this way, guaranteed, with no words said, they'll do it that way. And so it's good just to protect your interests. Also, the fact that, are they going to be ripping off the old roof and putting down a new roof, or are they putting this right down on top of the old roof?
They're taking off there are two roofs, so they're taking off everything.
Everything, and going back down to the sheathing and then replacing whatever rotted sheathing or plywood.
That's absolutely correct.
Okay. I would probably take the time off and be there for this event, to protect your interests.
Yes, and also it's good that somebody's around the house. You get into the house. They should have access to inside, outside. You never know what they may need. And so that the owner of the house, and there's also the old adage, is nothing that makes a good driver of someone is having a cop drive behind them. So what happened is, in this case, while the cat's away, the mice will play. And that's really what
it's
all
about.
So
we're going to encourage you to be there.
We have a comment from Kristen in Brooklyn. She says, my boyfriend took a trip in our apartment and knocked his head into the bedroom door. Mm-hmm. His bowling ball head is fine, but our cheap hollow bedroom door is now smashed in at the point of impact.
Yes.
We rent, so we'll have to replace it. But is this a job that you think some rookies like us could handle, or should we find a local handyman?
Well, I think that you can do it, and you can actually buy the door with the hinges already mounted to them. I mean, the biggest thing is just make sure you get the right width and the right length. And the length, if it's a little, measure the one you have or take it off the hinges and bring it to the home center with you. And then they can cut the door at the home center for you, like at Home Depot or Lowe's, where they have that kind of material. And then they could put it back on, and no one will be the wiser.
But the biggest part of the door is actually putting the latch mechanism in the right place.
A lot of these doors already have the holes drilled for it.
Yeah, but then you have to still the jam.
It's not hard.
It's not
It
hard.
Really isn't hard.
No, but it has to be done by somebody who knows how to use
a
hammer and chisel.
No, actually you don't. It's already drilled and put in place.
Even
you understand what I'm saying?
we have some other people who have thoughts about what the answer to the quiz might be. And we go now to Charles from Norwalk, Connecticut. Hi, Charles.
Hello,
what do you think it is?
Hi there.
Yes.
What do you think it is?
My answer is it's a beam scale.
That's what I thought mine was, is a beam scale.
But it's not.
It's not.
Okay, how about Jackie from Brooklyn?
Hi, Jackie.
Hi. I'm from your old neighborhood, by the way.
Which of our neighborhoods is that?
Flatbush and Midwood.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Go ahead.
Okay, it's a pendulum.
No. It has a pendulum on it, but it's not a pendulum. Not.
Okay, Ken from Wilton, Connecticut.
Hi, Ken.
Hi. I think this is a Roman steel yard or a steel yard balance.
How did you know that?
Well, when I was decades ago, I was taking a freshman class in engineering, and they covered the basic machines, I think seven basic machines, and they covered this as part of a lever.
Uh-huh.
And what clued it to me was you mentioned it in the clue. It was 2,000 years old, so I thought Roman.
Okay.
Now, interestingly, two people called in with the correct answer, but you were first. Gopal from Brooklyn also got the answer right. I thought nobody was going to get this.
And here's the interesting thing, that they came up with this similar design in China.
In China.
Around the same time, different people.
And also, Archimedes and Newton used this device to come up with their theories of balance, of liquids, of floating, of gravity.
Displacement.
Which is almost 1,000 years before they lived.
And they made these so big that they would measure horses and carts before they went on to ferries to determine their weight. So that had been a big one.
Yes.
Anyway, Ken, we're going to put you on hold. My producer will take your address, your name and address, and then, Al, you're going to be sending him something?
They'll get Al Ubell's Energy Saving Guide for Homeowners.
Save Money, Save Energy.
It's the same book, but
You know, I want to put Gopal in, even though he didn't win. Hi, Gopal.
Hi, how are you doing?
Okay. How did you know the answer?
Because I'm a professor of Chinese, and it's something that if you study Chinese history, it's a lot in Chinese poetry. It's an image that's used quite a bit. And
well, in that case, you both will get it. So both can stay on.
We'll send you a book. We'll take it.
Yeah, we'll live large today.
Yeah, because last time we were on, nobody got a book either.
So. Okay, so you're going to get one of the somebody's book that they didn't get last time, okay?
Oh. Well, thank you very much.
I'm going to put you on hold as well.
Okay, thanks.
That's great. Francesca in Montclair asks, we think of replacing an old wooden vanity, and we would like to reuse the original ceramic sink that seems to be very firmly glued on. How can we remove the sink in one piece to reuse it?
Well, what you have to do is it takes a mechanic, because the sink may have a little – I don't know whether the sink is set into a huddy rim or a stainless steel rim, or whether it sit right on top or into the wood section. But there are nuts and bolts and screws on the bottom of the vanity top that have to be loosened up, and then the caulking compound has to be very carefully cut with a sharp knife or razor blade or cutting device. It can be taken up. But what I find is you take the whole vanity top and turn it upside down and see how it's put together.
And then
make sure it fits into the new vanity.
Or you take the whole vanity out, sink and all, take it out of the bathroom, and then cut off the top of the vanity, and then take that and take the whole thing and soak it in water.
That's another
way. And then the wood will eventually start to fall apart. The vanity's fine. It'll all fall. I mean, the sink is fine. The vanity will fall apart and then start pulling it apart. Yeah, it could be very time-consuming. Trust me. I've done a lot of projects of older stuff in my house, and it's time-consuming, but it looks good when you're done.
Charlie from Brooklyn, hi. You're on the air. And you have to make it quick, Charlie.
What's up, Charlie?
Come on, Charlie.
Hi. Quick question. I got it. Okay. So I live in a neighborhood that is landmarked.
Yes.
It's a newer home. We're having water issues because of there was poor construction, and one of the problems we've come to is that the cornice is almost non-existent. It's about a 6-inch cornice.
Yeah.
All the windows are basically flush with the exterior. Mm-hmm. It's a terrible, really cheap stucco job.
Yeah.
What I'd like to do is I'm hoping my scheme, I can, mm-hmm. without having to get a permit, I can add about a foot to the cornice, because that's not messing with the actual face of the building. Just mm-hmm. to give me a little more water runoff.
So how does he deal with the landmark?
Well, that's
wall?
A difficult.
Well, that's a difficult, because your neighbors will rat you out in a heartbeat. Okay, and so you really do need to file the things. It's not, you know, you don't need an architect to file with landmarks. You just have to let them know what you're doing, and you have to make an argument for what you're doing. And if your argument is sound, they will let you do it. And you have to show them renderings of what it. Pictures of what it is now and renderings of what it will be when you're done. And if everything seems legitimate, they'll let you do it. They're not there to deteriorate our construction. They're there to be a preserver of our neighborhoods. So if you can make an argument for it, they will let you do it. And you don't necessarily need an architect.
Because they're not going to be unreasonable. Okay, Charlie?
Right.
Will a hand drawing be fine, or do I need to go and get the whole...
What you have to do is first you got to take a picture of what you're going to do, and then you take a transparency and on top of the drawing and draw in what you think you should do, so that you could just lay over the transparency onto a photograph and they can see what you're doing.
And also get a contractor's like proposal of what you're going to do. So that the more information you give them, the better.
Now, we're going to see the two of you again on October 8th. Well, wait, don't rush it. We still have about 10 seconds.
You know, he's like the little child.
Okay, go, Al.
We're going to show all of America how to go forth and fix, save energy, money, and
do it safely.
And thank you both for being on our show again.
It was delicious to be here.
We love being here.